Hello everyone, my name is Julie Lumivalo and in today's session I'll discuss some of the foundations for digital service design. Let's start by considering a simple question. What are digital services? In today's digital world, digital services are of course everywhere. They're not just the tools that we use to get basic tasks done, but they ultimately shape how we work, learn, and even how we think and interact with each other. So digital services aren't one size fits all. They come in all different forms with varying levels of complexity and impact. To effectively design and engage with these services, we need to understand their different layers and how they've evolved over time. So let's look at the three stages of digital service transformation as proposed by Tuunanen and others, wherein the idea is that each stage builds on the previous one, introducing new complexities and possibilities. This progression isn't just theoretical, it's the blueprint for understanding how digital services have grown and how they'll continue to shape our world in the future. First, we have digitized services, and they represent the first stage of digital service transformation, where existing physical or manual service elements are converted into digital formats. The emphasis here is on efficiency and accessibility without fundamentally altering the service or value creation structure. Digitization allows service providers to replicate traditional service functions in digital environments, enabling a smoother process and cost reductions. For example, a digitized service might include traditional document handling, such as scanning a physical form into a PDF file. In service contexts, a travel agency might digitize its booking system to allow users to complete forms online instead of visiting the office. And other simple tasks such as this could be done as well. While digitization reduces friction and can thereby substantially improve efficiency, it doesn't substantially change the mechanism of how the service creates value. And second, digitalized services, they go beyond converting physical elements to digital. They fundamentally reimagine how the service exchange unfolds through integration of different digital technologies, and this could create substantial shifts in the service experience. So basically, digitalization incorporates digital technologies into the service process itself, transforming how services are produced and consumed. Tuunanen and others emphasize the role of digitalized services in enabling process innovation and enhancing user centricity. Digitalization often leverages platforms to connect stakeholders more efficiently, and it allows for multi-directional value exchange, unlike the unidirectional nature of digitized services. Let's take an AI-based personal trainer application, Aitofit, as an example. The AI personal trainer goes beyond simple digitization to showcase the transformative potential of digitalization in service design. In a digitized service, the client might have access to pre-recorded workout videos and downloadable PDFs with a set training plan. While these can be convenient, they are rather static, often one-size-fits-all solutions that struggle to account for individual differences, changing goals, and fitness progress over time. An AI personal trainer, on the other hand, it's a manifestation of digitalization, a paradigm shift that fundamentally transforms how a service is delivered and experienced. Now, instead of providing a generic plan, the AI trainer uses advanced algorithms and real-time data analysis to optimize every aspect of the client's workout, from the number of sets and reps to the recovery periods and progression models based on their individual performance, goals, and feedback. For instance, if the client is recovering from an illness or takes a break from exercising, the app can adjust their training intensity for the subsequent workouts, ensuring that it's as effective and safe as possible. This level of personalization and real-time adaptation creates a sort of wow effect because it renders the customer experience and creates novel ways for resource integration and value creation. Such service can also redefine what users will expect from a fitness service in the future. Aitofit doesn't just deliver information. It actively participates in the user's fitness journey, constantly learning and evolving to optimize outcomes. And finally, Tuunanen and others suggest that we are entering the next phase of service evolution, which they call cybernized services. These services harness the power of cyber-physical systems, or CPS, combining advanced computational capabilities with real-world physical environments through sensor technologies, IoT, AI, and whatnot. The result is a new kind of service that is interactive, context-aware, and seamlessly integrated into users' lives and environments. For instance, let's look at Amazon Go stores as an example of cybernized services. In these outlets, customers can just walk into a store where there are no checkout counters and no waiting in lines. Instead, there's sensors embedded throughout the store which track the customer's movements and detect the products that they pick up. The collected data is processed in real time, and the customers are charged for their purchases automatically on their Amazon account as they walk through the checkout. Here, the technological aspects and the design of the service, they all enable that the entire shopping experience is transformed. It's frictionless, efficient, and effortless. So service design can result in complete reimagining of the service experience, blending the physical and digital worlds in ways that feel intuitive and natural. But wait, what do we mean by service or services and their distinction? Traditionally, businesses and researchers have thought of services as market offerings that are distinct from tangible goods such as banking, healthcare, or hospitality services. In a more contemporary view, the service-dominant or SD logic approach is challenging this line of thought, and it argues that all economic and social exchange is fundamentally about service. So it views service as a value co-creation process. For instance, if we think about a smartphone application or a smartphone itself, the traditional perspective would consider value being created when the phone or the app is sold to a consumer. The value or the worth of the app would in that case be determined at the point of purchase in terms of monetary exchange. But the SD logic reframes this by considering that it's not the app itself or the phone that creates value, but in a sense, value emerges in the use of the service and from how it enables the user. Does it help you work out at home, or does it simplify your life through organizing your time and tasks? So the app is seen as just a platform for enabling activities wherein value in use can be co-created together with the user and providers of the app and the smartphone. So this way, smartphone apps can be seen as services that are, in a sense, enabling activities, service for value co-creation, meaning the service exchange between the user and the provider. So what do we consider value? Value can be understood in many ways and measured by different factors. For example, value could manifest in monetary terms. For instance, a company implementing Microsoft Teams might value the cost savings of a service ecosystem compared to maintaining multiple divergent communication and collaboration tools. However, unlike traditional views that often measure value in terms of financial gains, the SD logic framework takes a broader perspective and views value as subjective, context-dependent, and phenomenologically determined by the actor who's experiencing it. For instance, value could be measured in terms of improved comfort, such as the convenience of using Uber instead of figuring out public transport. It could also be measured in terms of pleasure or enjoyment obtained from the use of a given service, or the feeling of trust toward a banking app to handle one's transactions in a secure manner. We could also measure value in terms of affection, safety, efficiency, and many other constructs. So SD logic highlights that value doesn't come from simply owning or consuming a product. Instead, value arises from how the product or service is used. It's about what the user does with it and how it integrates into their life or operations and activities. Value in this view is about enhancing someone's state of well-being. It's not just about functionality or utility, it's about how the service positively impacts the person or organization in meaningful ways. And in business terms, understanding how value emerges for customers is found a focal competitive advantage. Ron Roos further emphasized that value emerges when service exchange leaves the user in a better state or better off, whether it may be physically, emotionally, or mentally. And so this value co-creation process is basically the reason why we want to talk about service and designing good digital services. SD Logic makes a shift from focus on companies producing and delivering value for their customers to this collaborative process where value is co-created through interactions between all these involved actors. So first, companies cannot create value in isolation. They can offer value propositions, which are opportunities that customers can engage with using types of resources like products, services, or digital platforms. For example, Spotify doesn't create the value of entertainment. Why? Because entertainment is an outcome that each listener will have to participate in order for it to emerge. Users have to have suitable speakers or earplugs installed. They need to be in a situation where they are able to listen, and they need to give some kind of input to the system in order for it to know what kind of music or podcasts to play. So Spotify provides a platform and some resources like music, recommendations, playlists that users can interact with in their own way to co-create value through integrating their own resources with these offerings. And second, value is always co-created, and that means it cannot be delivered by providers. Value like entertainment, efficiency, or learning emerges when customers decide to engage with the company's value proposition. And each customer or digital service user themselves determines whether there is any value emergent from that specific interaction that they are participating in. And again, this value co-creation process involves resource integration where both the company and the customer contribute, so no delivery there. Take, for example, the case of Peloton. The company provides a fitness platform for sharing, training together, and connecting, and the platform is meant to support the use of their fitness bikes. But the value of health and community only materializes when users actively participate by getting on their bikes to do the exercising and make the effort of connecting with others. If the customers don't integrate, no value is derived for the customer, and they're likely to unsubscribe from the digital service platform too. So as implications for businesses, companies must focus on designing service offerings that enable resource integration, the kind of offerings that truly engage their customers in a joint value co-creation process. And that can be done through service design. But what is service design? It's a concept that can be understood in many ways, each offering a unique lens. At its core, service design is a mindset. It's a way of thinking. It prioritizes user needs and embraces value co-creation. It starts by looking at an identified problem or what users actually need instead of what we might want to produce or what we might want to offer and sell. Of course, an important aspect is also to balance technological opportunities and business relevance as well. For instance, Tesla uses a service design approach to ensure the digital and physical elements of the service, like location-based functions and charging stations. They create a seamless experience for quick charging stops and, for instance, preheating of the battery when approaching the station. A service design mindset also encourages early prototyping, quick feedback loops, and iterative improvements, ensuring that solutions evolve based on real user input. So service design is inherently an iterative process. It moves through research, ideation, prototyping, and refinement or implementation, with each cycle deepening the understanding of the solution to a problem and improving the solutions that could fix that problem. For digital services, this process, in essence, continues throughout the lifecycle of the service as systems adapt dynamically to user needs and contexts, and new offerings can be introduced constantly on a daily basis, for instance. Often, when we talk about service design, it could refer to tools like customer journey maps, service blueprints, and personas. Those are visual aids that help teams uncover pain points, align solutions, and foster shared understanding across disciplines such as information systems engineering and service marketing, for instance. All these tools are essential for mapping complex digital interactions and develop offerings that engage users. Also, by creating a shared vocabulary, service design in a way bridges gaps between technical, business, and creative teams. For example, diagrams and visualizations serve as boundary objects, enabling collaboration without requiring every team member to understand the technical or domain-specific details. And embedded within organizations, service design can also drive both incremental improvements and radical innovations within internal processes inside the company. And how does the service design process unfold? The double diamond model structures the design process into four main stages: research, ideation, prototyping, and implementation. The model is based on two key movements, namely divergence and convergence. So first we have divergence, where the aim is to broaden the thinking by exploring a wide range of possibilities and gathering lots of insights. Second, there's the convergence, where ideas and findings are refined and narrowed down into actionable solutions. Let's dive into each stage and see how this process unfolds. So the design process begins with the research phase. This stage focuses on understanding the users, gaining loads of insight about who they are, what they need, and how they behave. Through research, we gather insights that help shape the design process. Both qualitative and quantitative methods are used to uncover meaningful information. For example, interviews and observations provide a deeper understanding of user experiences, while surveys and analytics offer broader insights into trends and behaviors. Importantly, the research phase goes beyond examining just the service itself. It's about understanding the broader ecosystem in which the service operates in. This means considering the network of interactions, actors, and processes that impact the service. For example, in designing a food delivery app, we wouldn't just study the app's functionality, but also we'd like to explore how restaurants, drivers, and customers interact with one another, which is something that we call service delivery network. Sometimes the focus shifts inward, looking at an organization's own processes and infrastructure to identify inefficiencies or bottlenecks. The findings from this research phase are vital for setting a strong foundation for the next stages of the design process. Thereafter, we move to the ideation phase. Here, the insights gathered are analyzed and synthesized to focus on the most critical challenges and opportunities. This stage is about turning broad research findings into clear, actionable goals. It's where the problem is framed in a way that guides the rest of the process. For example, if we discover during the research phase that users often feel frustrated with unclear delivery times in a food delivery app, we might refine this into a focused question: how might we provide users with real-time, reliable updates to improve delivery transparency? This phase narrows the focus, ensuring that the team works on solving the most impactful problems. The third stage, prototyping, is where the ideas begin to take shape. Based on the refined problem statement, this phase focuses on generating creative solutions and testing them. Teams brainstorm ideas, exploring a range of possibilities. The aim is to create a space for innovation where bold and diverse concepts can emerge. Once ideas are generated, they are turned into prototypes, tangible representations of the solutions. These prototypes can range from simple sketches to detailed functional models. They are tested with users to gather feedback, and based on this feedback, the ideas are refined and iterated upon. This phase is about experimentation, testing what works, and continuously improving the concepts. Finally, we arrive at the implementation phase, where the refined solutions are implemented. This is the stage where the ideas are brought to life and the service is launched. But implementation isn't just about the technical rollout. It's about ensuring that the solution works seamlessly for users and integrates smoothly into the organization's processes. During this phase, gathering user feedback is crucial to make final adjustments and address any remaining challenges. On the organizational side, it's important to prepare employees adjust workflows, and ensure alignment between the technical and human aspects of the solution. And of course, implementation is not the end of the process. In service design, solutions continue to evolve as feedback is given and received and user needs change. All right, and let's take a moment to reflect on how the principles of SD logic are reflected on digital service design. In a sense, the goals of digital service design align with SD logic and can be thought of as four key steps. So first, at the core of digital service design is the effort to deeply understand the user, meaning the people we are designing for. This aligns with the service dominant logic perspective, where value begins with recognizing the user's context and their challenges. Through research and discovery, we uncover that users truly need, what they aspire, and where current solutions fall short. This stage is critical because without understanding, we risk designing services that are misaligned with users' expectations or fail to address their actual problems. Building on this insight, the next goal is to create innovative value propositions that resonate with users. This means bundling together various elements, including digital technologies, to offer services that are not just functional, but also compelling and impactful. For example, combining automation and personalization can genuinely improve users' lives in many domains. The value proposition serves as an invitation for users to engage, and its strength lies in how well it connects with their underlying needs and desires in a given context and situation. And third, a key concept from service dominant logic is that value emerges through research integration. This means designing systems where users can easily combine their own resources, such as time, knowledge, or devices, with those provided by the service to create meaningful outcomes. In digital service design, this often involves creating ecosystems where multiple actors, technologies, and services come together and work seamlessly. For instance, a ride-sharing platform like Uber integrates user input, driver availability, payment systems, and GPS technologies into an extremely easy-to-use navigate service ecosystem. Digital service design must always acknowledge that users are not passive recipients of value. They are active participants in co-creating it. Every interaction with a digital service involves a user making decisions, providing input, or utilizing features in their unique context. For example, the success of a wellness app doesn't come solely from its features, but from how users actively engage with those features to achieve their personal health goals. Recognizing users as co-creators means designing services that invite and encourage their active participation. To sum it up, digital service design is more than just creating digital products. It's about identifying and addressing problems and then developing digitally enabled offerings that resonate with users and adapt to their changing needs.